Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind? That just happened.
It's the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am Chris Welch. That is Scott Bogman. April 21st edition for the week. We are looking ahead for the week of fantasy baseball, and there were weird stuff happening all weekend. Record scores, record stolen bases, record scores in innings. I don't know what was going on. We're going to be talking about some of the ups and downs in players, injuries, all the statistics from the last week, and we will kind of compare my weekly sheet in preparation of the prospects and redraft to watch, some of the guys that I'm picking up and trading, and then we'll look at some of the other pickups that are floating out there. So we're getting you prepped for the week across the board. Bogman and Welsh post Easter. I just forget Easter like just moves around and it just comes up on you. I feel like Boggs.
I haven't been home for an Easter in like 3 years. I've been in Phoenix for opening day for the last three Easters before this one. I feel like.
I didn't know that. Did you take some time looking for some eggs this weekend?
No, I didn't.
You didn't go Easter egg hunting? I would love 1 year to host you, give you a little bunny. We have bunny Easter basket. And just watch you hunt for eggs. I think it'd be great.
Yeah. That would be great. Anything else I should do?
I want to see you Easter egg.
I'll do that if you wear the full bunny costume. If you're the Easter bunny, I'll hunt with egg. I'll hunt for eggs with you.
You wear like one of those little like Easter egg, like Easter outfits, you know, like the little like blue shorts, a little buttoned up shirt and like a little bow tie, and you walk around hunting for eggs. I'll be the Easter bunny.
You know what? If you're the Easter bunny, sure.
I'll probably look closer
dress for you.
So. I'll probably look closer to the Donnie Darko bunny if I were to end up doing it. if anyone gets that
scare
reference.
Scare all the kids.
Yeah. Yeah. We did one more round though. My kids are like, what? My son is like, we can sneak one or two more in. So we almost weren't going to, and then we're like, nah, we're going to roll out the eggs, and we were hiding them. But you know what we have to do though? We have to write down how many we have, because we've had multiple years where we were like, I think there's one more. And we found it a year later and like melted chocolate, and we put money in them and stuff. So we had to like map out the eggs, which is
crazy. Found one from a year. Yeah we covered in ants, they found it. So
yeah, the ants found it. We found a big ant hill, and that's where we found it. But we did get all of the eggs.
That's hilarious, dude. I saw Frankie Stamps yesterday talking about how his parents still get him an Easter basket, and it was Rice Krispie treat Peeps.
That sounds
super interesting. I obviously don't like Peeps. I've eaten them till I've thrown up on this show.
I forgot about that. I was about to say, like, I'm not a big Peeps guy. I don't know the last time I had one. Rice Krispie, anything sounds good, but I forgot. If old ITL people would remember this, and it's really actually funny too, is Bogman had a bet with Howard Bender. And Howard, I guess, is famous for, I don't know if he still does it, he would like go berserko with Peeps in a day. And he would just spend all day eating a gajillion Peeps. And Bogman made some type of a bet, and you had to eat a bunch. We were on the show. You were eating them live, and then you threw up.
It was 40 or barf, and I think I got to 22.
22, 23. But the worst part about it was the place I was at, the internet got super wonked out. And when you threw up, we like kind of lost connection, and it screwed up because we were on a podcast recording it live, and it kind of messed everything up.
Couldn't see what I was doing, which thank God you wouldn't have wanted to see it. It was, you know, pink peep barf. It was disgusting. Oh, but ones. You could hear it, and it was not so much fun. It was terrible.
We have definitely heard you throw up on too many things. It's not the only time you've ever thrown up on a podcast either. Deck our balls.
Oh, my God. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. The phone call. Yeah. I mean, good times. Very good times. All right. A lot of baseball stuff to get to today. A lot of records and pickups and fun stuff kind of prepping you for the week. But if you guys want, go over to InThisLeague.com and support the boys. Support us over at InThisLeague.com. We got the Patreon, the GroupMe rooms. GroupMe is kind of like Discord. You can hang out. We're posting lots of great and crazy stuff. We've got some only streams on Patreon. Bogman's going to be doing some NFL draft stuff. Probably not only on Patreon, at least for day one, but we do those on the YouTube. I do the weekly streams. I'm going to be doing two this week. Actually, after we're done recording this, I'll be jumping on. The Patreon supports that. Plus, we've got ranks. I've got the sheet, dynasty ranks, prospect ranks. We just got a ton of stuff. At the end of the day, support us over at InThisLeague.com. That is the Patreon. Sign up today, InThisLeague.com. Very easy, very simple. We'd love to have you. And then on the streams, youtube.com/InThisLeague is our YouTube, twitch.tv/InThisLeague for the Twitch. Just follow those. You'll get notifications when we go live, if that is your thing. Our Arizona Diamondbacks had an absolutely berserko game. But you know what? Berserko weekend. We had a Zach Gallen implosion, which I want to talk about in a second. We had an attempted home stolen base by, of all players, Josh Naylor attempted to steal home, but none really lead up to the ridiculous Friday. I think it was 16 runs, was it, or 18 runs or something absurd, where the Diamondbacks scored 10 runs in the eighth, but then they gave up a bunch to the Cubs in one of the most absurd all times. I believe it was the most runs in a single inning in Wrigley Field history between the Diamondbacks and the Cubs, Boggs.
It was absurd to watch because it was one of those things, you know, Gino hits the grand slam. We go up, tack a couple more runs on there. I'm feeling fantastic. Then we see Jarvis come in, and Jarvis is miserable. Then Manaply comes in, and this was the big mistake from Torrey that is almost unforgivable.
Right? One of many that he's been making lately.
Yeah, it's just the bullpen is torched. Like, I was surprised that AJ Puck came in against the Marlins the day before because he kind of had been torched the day before that. And then he immediately went on the injured list, so he wasn't available in this game. But Manaply has looked God awful. I don't know what he's still doing on the team. I didn't understand why he was brought in.
Well, he's not anymore. He's not on the team anymore.
Because of this. Yeah. So he gives up the lead, looks miserable doing it. The D-backs end up losing. A crazy win for the Cubs. Adds on to Kyle Tucker's story at the beginning of this year is incredible.
Okay. And $500 million he's going to get now.
It was one of the more devastating regular season losses I can remember.
So a couple things with that. AJ Puck also hit the IL after this game, and it was elbow inflammation. Horrible. The worst thing that you could possibly get at this point. He's having an MRI today. Actually, this second, I think. It's like noon is usually the Diamondbacks schedule.
Welsh checked him into the hospital.
Yeah, I didn't go down there today, but that's usually the time. It's around like noonish because there's a facility that's next to the Diamondbacks where they scoot over. It's just funny because last year I talked to Eduardo, who had to run over there. That 2 Mondays ago, it was Cattell, who left literally at noon because there's an imaging facility next to the Salt River Fields. And Puck is probably getting it at this moment. Worst case, you know what it is, and he's gone. Best case, maybe he comes back soon. Here is the interesting stuff. Lovello did say, because there was right after that an opportunity for a save that didn't get locked down and by Justin Martinez. It went to, I'm forgetting, they went to Shelby, and then Shelby, it was like technically a
Shelby
blown save.
Blew it.
He got the win. Well, yeah. Then this is where I was going to go with it. Lovello ends up saying like general soreness is what's going on with Martinez, which is also not great, but he's shown a propensity to not go to Martinez a whole bunch. Before that, Shelby Miller has been absolutely lights out. His fastball, I didn't think he had given up a run. His fastball is doing ridiculous stuff right now, better than he's ever been in his career.
7 years too late.
Yeah, it is. But the whole weekend, it was like anytime he faced Dansby Swanson, everybody jumped up. But what I was getting at is I do think there's a possibility you could see Shelby in a ninth inning because Ginkle's not back and Martinez is, doesn't have the full trust. But there's no doubt that this is an uptick for Justin Martinez as a closer. So he comes up a couple notches. But if you are in big, deep, speculative world, I actually think Shelby Miller might be somebody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door, and after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Because we just don't have Ginkle back yet. But that's that take. What I want to get, though, is the next game. Our boy Zito, shout out to Zito. He went to the Cubs game. He instantly messages me as soon as Corbin Carroll hits the leadoff homer. But then to be in, because he's a nice guy, he doesn't want to rub anything in. Zach Gallen does the things I've been worried about. And you text me, Zach Gallen sucks. Zach Gallen now has a 5.6 ERA, a 0.43 whip. Some underlying things are expected ERA is better, but it's 4.5. Career high walk at this point. Strikeouts are as low as they've ever been in his career. 12% barrel. People are getting better looks on the ball. Launch angle sweet spot is up. Expected batting average is up. My question to you is, are you now worried about Gallen? Has anything changed for you after this? Because this is just consistently not good.
Yeah, I'm not crazy concerned because the funny thing about this start was, you know, he gave up these six runs in the first two innings and then had four great innings,
which he does a lot. He does this stupid thing a lot where he blows up one inning and comes back.
Right. So I don't know if it's about getting it together. I don't know if it's about just the fact that he can't, he has no control with these secondary pitches and the fastball is just not impressive. I think that's the big issue is when the control goes, everybody just sits on the fastball, which is not going to blow anybody out of the water. It's not going to fool anyone. So I am concerned, but I don't think I'm at your level of concern. I just hope he gets it straightened out. But it's at the point now where he can go either way, and I wouldn't be shocked. He can get it together and really put together a nice season at this point, or this could be the beginning of the end, and he's just losing his control. So I tend to think that there's still he's still going to be normal Gallen moving forward with inconsistent starts on occasion like this one, but it's not great. And I'm moving more and more towards your camp every start for Zach Gallen.
Yeah. I mean, and looking here, you know, it was over 50% fastball zone percentage, but it's still just not great. He just doesn't trust it. Got some called strikes. Knuckle curve and changeup were both under 30 or under 35%. Essentially, they were not getting the big whiffs. They were not getting called strikes. He did some slider in here, but we can look at the underlying stuff and be like, oh yeah, you know, there were some whiffs here and it wasn't in the zone and stuff. It's just not good. It's the fastball average is under 93. He doesn't command it enough. His changeup, which he likes to back up on, he's not throwing that for enough strikes. And no one is swinging and whiffing on his changeup and knuckle curve at this point because he doesn't throw those for strikes and they're just waiting to pound that freaking fastball. So I do have a worry of him. I mean, he throws that fastball, you know, close to 50% of the time. It averaged 93 exit velocity in this last start. Like, he's just getting hit hard, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's not healthy or it's age or whatever it is, but he doesn't have that mixture. And now I think we're moving out of the territory where it's almost not going to make sense to trade him, because I don't know what those trades look like if you're trying to reacquire. You wanted to get him while people still had optimism.
You think it's 75 cents on the dollar right now? Would you, if you were holding Gallon, would you trade him for that?
Just depends what does that the look names like? Are. Yeah, like, okay, like, who would you rather have rest of the season, Zach Gallon or Casey Mize? Like, I got to be honest with you, I might take Casey Mize for him. It's probably more of a twofer, and we don't do pitcher for pitcher trades, but like,
of course.
I think there's a legitimate chance that Casey Mize could be a more valuable fantasy pitcher than Zach Gallon rest of the season.
I understand that. I'm still taking Gallon in that, but I'm like you, I'm not going to be like, what? Casey Mize was better than Gallon this year? I had no idea. No, Casey Mize looks great right now, and Gallon looks like garbage. So there's obviously the early sample size. I think I'm going to rely on Gallon to stick, but I mean, when pitching goes, it tends to go. And I hope that's not what we're seeing from Gallon. And him coming back for those four innings that were outstanding, I think gives me more hope than maybe it should. But I still see the top line pitcher with Gallon. It's just he's got to get these blow up innings under control.
And that inverse, maybe it's a buy opportunity. Like I'm definitely open to like where players, it's such an outlier to who they are that it doesn't make sense. There's some stuff that is like dramatic outliers, but I'd also say this, his ERA has prior to this year had gone up three straight seasons. His K percentage had gone down three straight seasons. His walk percentage had, I guess it went from 6.6 to 5.6 up to 8.7. So it's had some of that trajectory a little bit. I just don't feel super optimistic, and I still don't. It's a lot of Diamondbacks at the top, but there's relevant stuff in not just us being like Corbin Carroll. It's like, you know, there's a new closer or at least a closer trajectory is up, and Zach Gallon looked even worse. A couple other,
but also Corbin Carroll.
But Corbin Carroll is like Corbin Carroll, amazing. Yeah, he's incredible. A couple other big ones. I like how you wrote this. The Reds have risen 24 runs on Easter, which I didn't even realize. Jorge Mateo and Gary Sanchez gave up 9. I was like, wait, were they on the Reds? No, they had them in.
They gave Reds up the last later. 9 runs of the game after they had already scored 15. I mean, just incredible performance by the Reds. 24 runs is insane. I was
24-2.
Yeah, I was in the backyard of my cousin's house looking. I'm like, 24? What is happening?
Right, you want to know the most amazing thing? 13 of those runs came from the 8 and 9 hitter. You had a 7 RBI, 5 for 7. Noelvi Marte was. This is actually absurd. He had 3 hard hit balls, 106, 106.9, and 101.3. He was 5 for 7 with 7 RBIs. But Austin Wins was 6 for 7, 6 RBIs, 6 hard hit balls. In that one, I've never seen that, but 6 hard hit balls. Austin Hayes had 5 hard hit balls. He was 4 for 6, but 13 of those 24 runs came from the 8 and 9 hitter, which
is what they did on Easter, like the entirety of Aristides Aquino's career. Remember when he totally had like super hot months?
That's so funny. I've been thinking about him. Like, I think he was in Japan recently. I'm always interested when those guys go away for like 4 or 5 years and like, when will they come back? Like, they got to try another run, you know?
Right.
I mean, like,
yeah,
Yasiel Puig is, he's not coming back, but like.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking...
In this league.
Break it down.
Fran Mill's over there for a couple years. Like, he's probably going to come back. I'm surprised we haven't seen Aristides Aquino even have, like, a team tryout. But it won't be for this team. Noelvi Marte, very interesting at third, having a huge, huge breakout game, which it's, you know, it's obviously, like, it's skewed, But it's enough to pay attention to that, like, they, you know, they really might keep him out there right now, because it's like Spencer Steer's at first. Austin Hayes is in DH. I'm just looking at their. The thing that we'd have to figure out is if CES came back and let's just arguably say they want to DH him, do they make like Friedel or Fraley a fourth outfielder? Or is it just, nope, Nuelvi is gone? You know, and they, I mean, also, I'm not counting Jamer in there. It's just a really weird roster the Reds have, that it's hard to imagine Nuelvi's going to get regular playing time.
For a closer would make a lot of sense for this team, right? Like, if you don't want to give it back to Alexis Diaz and the other guys are blowing it, maybe a bullpen arm would be in line here for somebody.
What's available, though? You know, yeah. Like, who's selling any good bullpen arms on the trade market and free agency? The cost is always so stupid. It just doesn't make any
you're
sense.
Right.
The other crazy thing. So again, this was a weekend that had the most single runs in Wrigley history, 16 runs in an eighth inning.
Let me read this because OptiStats put this out. In just the seventh and eighth innings at Wrigley Field, there were 6 homers, 2 grand slams, all 4 types of hits, single, double, triple, homer, all 4 types of homer, solo, 2-run, 3-run, grand slam, 3 half innings of 5-plus runs. Never in MLB history had all of that happen in an entire game, let alone 2 innings. That's how crazy that Diamondbacks and Cubs, inning and a half was.
Chaos number one. Chaos number two, 24 runs by the Reds with 13 RBIs coming from the 8-9 hitter. But it wasn't done, because over the weekend, we also got the Brewers, who not only had a franchise record 9 stolen bases in a game on Shea Langeliers, but had a franchise record 6 stolen bases in the first inning with 2 double steals. Shea Langeliers sucks, clearly stinks. And what a insane, I mean, those are the type of things that jump out to us, though, to say, oh, teams have a feel when the A's are up. And if you like to, like, let's say bet, or if you like to bet stolen bases, or you just want to, like, you know, play matchups and stuff like that, maybe there is something. I don't know if this was just an offset thing that I think teams are going to run more on Shea Langeliers, especially more so after he allowed this. I mean, the double steals kind of inflated a little bit, but even if those weren't double steals and they were singular, that's still 7 stolen bases. And that's insane. 6 in the first inning, 9 total. Wow, what a weird ass weekend.
Yeah, I mean, 9 swipes. And I remember Miguel Amaya had some issues with the Cubs last year throwing out base runners, and then teams started to really take off on him. And you're right, we're going to see the exact same thing from Langeliers. It's becoming easier and easier to steal bases. You see some of these guys, Chandler Simpson, obviously got the call up this weekend and
almost beat out a ground ball, by the way. Like, that's what he does. He is going to start beating out some ground outs to third and short. This one was just like a little dinker ground out that he almost beat out. It's going to be great when he starts doing it.
Yeah. So, I mean, just it's becoming a bigger part of the game because the rules have made it so much easier to steal a base now.
Yeah. 2 other pieces out there. You put this and I got the next one, but Barrios' crybaby situation. So this is something you wanted to write, so you felt about it. What's your take on Barrios thought that Cal Raleigh was stealing relaying signs, and they had this big just argument where he's like, yeah, that's fine. And then he just said, like, that's fine, like 20 times, and then they got into a thing. And
yeah, I don't know. Why are you being a crybaby about this, Barrios? It's not like they're out there hitting trash cans. They're not using cameras. Stealing signs from second and relaying them to the hitter has been a part of baseball since baseball's been around. So what are you being a crybaby for? I just thought, you know, this is overreach with the policing of the game. Like, what are we doing? So I just thought Barrios is being a giant crybaby about it.
I don't know. I don't. That one, I know there's like those unspoken things. I don't think that one's ever gone.
It's not even unspoken. It's part, like, it's just part of baseball. Like, guy, if you make your signs obvious and there's a guy on, this is why you don't give up. You don't want to give up doubles. You know?
Well, they're also using the pitch com stuff. So it's like, don't tip your pitches, because they're not calling signs anymore. And if they're just doing the pitch com, these guys shouldn't really be able to relay much.
Right.
But I don't know. Like,
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt boss.
Just like Brios, I agree. He's kind of a crybaby. My favorite thing of the weekend, and I know this was yours, and I had it up the whole show, and then I just put it away just stupidly, was Logan Webb. Joe asked me about this. Joe had not seen it. Logan Webb this week had a great start, but had an even better interview. He tried to hold it up. He couldn't do it. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes farts are just too funny. And here's Logan Webb proving it, being interviewed in the clubhouse.
At least four outings with 10 strikeouts in the walk. What does it mean to you to be in that
position? I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. Farts are always funny. I'm not going to lie. It's anytime you're in a list.
How can you ask him a question after that? What I want to know is who is the farter? Who do you think the farter was in there? Now, he's a pitcher, and so pitchers would be near him-ish. But it also seemed like it was kind of across the room. If you had to guess who the farter was for the Giants, guess the farter.
I mean, did Pablo Sandoval somehow get into the locker room again?
Can you imagine how awful that locker room must have been back in the day?
I mean, the walls probably would have been shaking. Wasn't he drinking Coca-Cola like in the dugout? Like, didn't he put it in his Gatorade bottle?
I don't know. Is he Bert Kreischer just drinking Kool-Aid? I don't know. No, everybody guess. Who do you? Because I think I'm going to go with, I feel like Verlander would be a good one for that, but I'm going to say it's a position player, and I'm going to go with a vet, not a young guy. I'm going to go with Matt Chapman. I think Chapman is the farter, but I don't know. A catcher could make sense if they were trying to make their pitcher. But I don't know if Patrick Bailey is going to be ripping them.
Yeah, so I don't know. Helio Ramos, who's the biggest guy here? I don't know.
Maybe they just didn't know that the interview was
going on. I think Verlander is a pretty good guess too, though.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, Verlander, like, definitely probably wouldn't care. So, ripping it. And shout out to Logan Webb for the farts are always funny and attempting to try to be professional in the interview, too. But Logan Webb is a national hero. We absolutely love him. A couple of highlights and then some injuries, and then we're going to get into the stats and everything. Trout, another big weekend, 8 homers. We talked about it on Leading Off, and we're in this really weird position, kind of like last year, Boggs. Batting average is down. He is near the tippy top of the league leaders in homers, and we could feel that things were going to start to turn. He has a 133 BABIP right now, so we know the batting average is going to turn. XBA is 277. The question is what's your situation on Trout? Joe keeps kind of pressing the trade because we're in that exact same spot as last year. Massive power, massive profile still. Strikeouts are definitely a problem. They're up 27%. But BABIP is way down. Are you a buyer or a seller on Mike Trout right now?
I don't know how you could buy on a guy with his injury history. So for me, it's a sell for sure. Lots of homers. He's going to start hitting. Like you said, you mentioned, what was the BABIP? 133?
133. He has, I think 2 years ago, it was 330 something. So it's 200 points lower than it was 2 years ago. Last year was kind of weird because he never had time to get out of it before he got hurt. But we're talking mid, you know, low to mid 300 BABIPs over his career.
Wait for him to start hitting, more than just homers, because all he's doing right now is waiting. And it was just such an Angels headline. Mike Trout homers twice. Angels lose 3-2. You know what I mean? No. Like, couldn't be more Angels than that at all. But yeah, I mean, just wait for him to start hitting, then trade him, and then watch him get hurt for the rest of the year.
Nine of his 14 hits are extra base right now. 8 of those 14 are homers.
More homers than singles. That's not going to keep happening.
My take was kind of similar to you. Like, I told Joe, I'm like, it's still just, I don't even know why you would entertain trading him right now. I get the injury thing, but his batting average is down. It's not, to me, it doesn't make any sense to do the trade now. When it does, is you get 20 or 30 more games. His average is back up. It's 250, 260. He's you know, 15 homers at the end of May. And then you're like, he's going to get hurt soon. Then you trade. Then that's fine. Trade him at the tippy top. I would rather eat the production of what I think is going to bounce back in the hitting profile than go and trade him for, like, what are you going to get for under 200 Mike Trout right now with an injury history? No one's going to sell you something of what you could get from a Mike Trout that has gotten into May and is in the, you know, top 10 in hitting and whatever. Like, that Mike Trout, someone like me would probably fool themselves into the whole season. That's when you trade him. You don't do it right now. Even if he gets hurt, I still think, like, you just still don't do it, because I don't see what that trade looks like. What do you, you're not going to get, you wouldn't even get Tyler Soderstrom right now,
right,
for a Mike Trout. So, like, no, I wouldn't do it right now.
Same. I'm holding him until the batting average comes up, but then because of the injury history, I want to move him.
Hunter Green finally got hit up against the Giants. 5 earned runs, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. Been Cy Young talk the entire season. We knew he was going to come back down to earth a little bit. So, you know, you don't want to freak out in any capacity. But I've been a little selly on Hunter Green because of how high it is. Every, like, those MLB Network analysts are like, we should be talking about Hunter Green and the Cy Young. He's the best. And it's like, he is absolutely incredible. His strikeouts are back up. His walks are down. Everything looks really good. But if you're at a point where people are considering him a top 5 overall pitcher, I am okay with consolidating. Did this do anything for you? It's one bad start. You know, we knew it was going to happen, but it, you know, it was only 3 innings, which is not great. Walks were back up. What's your take on the Hunter Green start?
All the guys I talked about in the player debates last week had a bad start.
Yeah, you defended Gallen, and yeah.
And Shane Baz got rocked against the Yankees as well. Yeah. Like, and Carlos Rodon had his first quality start since opening day or whatever. Like, yeah, it's Hunter Green didn't look good in this start. I'm not too worried. It's against Baltimore in Baltimore. You know, the lineup finally came through for them. It sucks. I don't like it after his hot start, but I'm not going to let one bad start ruin my enthusiasm. I still think he is improving, and I think he could be on his way to that top 5. If someone wants to give you top 5 value for him right now, let them. I would take it for sure.
Where was that start?
Huh? That was on Saturday, I think.
Oh, I think you wrote the Giants, but they're facing Baltimore.
Yeah, I don't know why I said the Giants. It was definitely
Baltimore. Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, and it was. You're 100% right. It was because I couldn't find it because I'm like, where's the Giants start? Because I wanted to pull this up. It was the Uzis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That was, I think, back-to-back, right? They backed Mullins, and then Henderson went back-to-back off of him in the first. So...
Yeah,
but not a good start for Gunner or for Hunter, but I think he is moving towards the next step. This was a step back, of course, but I think he's going to be fine. If somebody wants to sell him because of this bad start, get out from under, then I'm buying that for sure.
Yeah, it's still I'm trying to figure out, like, what are those trades look like.
I mean, I don't think anyone should be. So I think that it's a little bit eye-rolly to say that someone would sell him off a bad start. They would wait for him to have another good start and then sell him. That's what should happen.
But. Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think it's a bad time to sell him because he had the bad start. Let him come back. But I'm not even sure it's worth it. Again, sometimes these guys are like, the what they are going to return instead of getting off of the players don't make sense. Hunter Green, to me, last week was in the territory of, like, it is worth looking. If someone's going to give you some absurd value because he was SP15 and now he could be an SP5 and someone's like, well, if I can get him for an SP10 or something like that, I want to do it. Then it made sense. It's a little different now. That start was interesting. It was almost 50% fastball. Usually we see him like heavy slider, 40% slider. He really laid off the splitter. So that might just be one of those where he just didn't have it. It got hit hard. He got no whiffs on it. Looks like also got a couple called strikes on it. So maybe you're not throwing it out of the zone enough. That just kind of reeks of, like, he didn't have his splitter. So he leaned on the other stuff and he got hit up. We'll watch what the next start looks like, but, interesting. You mentioned Chandler Simpson. He was called up on Saturday, 1-for-5 with a run in RBI. And then he got his first stolen base on Sunday. Most importantly,
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
He led off in the first game, and then he went down to 9. So he's going to get leadoff opportunities. This is why I had him. I had him high, by the way, and no one ever said anything about it, but I could see people rolling their eyes that Meisner and Mangum were up. On my sheet that I do with the prospects for redraft, I had him at 6 on that list still, even with those guys, because the whole point was, listen, if he comes up, he could lead off, which he did. He's the biggest stolen base threat on the planet. He's hitting for average. Like, if it happens, look out. And then all of a sudden it happened. And it wasn't at the expense, by the way, of Meisner or Mangum. But it'll be interesting to see what this team does is like in the future when Lowe gets up and everything. But you got to pick him up, and he's kind of running with, no pun intended, with this opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is one of those, all right, when Chandler Simpson's finally up, I feel like he's up. So, yeah, I mean, he's the guy way over those other guys. And, I mean, just the potential for stolen bases and how much he can change, you know, wherever you are in roto or in head-to-head. That potential is just, it fills you with hope. So, yeah, you need to be adding him. How much did he go for in like fab budget and stuff? Did you see any of the,
I think I saw some like 200s out of 1,000. Yeah. So, you know, some significant 20%. Prices. It just depends what you needed. The goofy thing is though, that you also had Caleb Durbin hit the market, and Caleb Durbin's super interesting because he's third base. Pat Murphy said he's going to play primary third base the rest of the season. I've been pretty adamant about this. That I think I said if he played 120 games, I think he would steal 50 bases. I'm going to kind of stick to that, especially if he hits for some average. Caleb Durbin is a hyper, hyper aggressive base dealer. So I would say if you lost out on Chandler Simpson, who's the biggest name, Caleb Durbin is a nice backup plan, especially when, you know, like Victor Robles got hurt, McCarthy's not hitting, all these stolen base guys that you were banking on are actually not working now. Getting guys like Durbin and Simpson in is huge. So I love me some Chandler Simpson and Caleb Durbin. You mentioned the Carlos Rodon. He got the quality start. Shane Boz got rocked. of course, that was out there. DeGrom, who we talked about, 7 innings, 7 strikeouts, quality start against the Dodgers, but they still lost. That was probably one of the more encouraging things we could have had because things had just been a little bit weird and wonky. Do you remember when that start was? Was that Saturday?
I think it was Saturday. It could have been Friday though. But yeah, this was, you know, people were starting to be worried about DeGrom and going out against the Dodgers, especially. I bet there are some people that did finally bench him, and then he goes out and has his best start. Still lost, like we said, but yeah, I mean, just happy to see him get back on track. And if you were able to make a move early because someone was super paranoid, then great. But obviously, no one should have been moving off of DeGrom after a slow start.
So here's the start. 7 innings, 7 strikeouts. He gave up 5 hard hit balls. This is really interesting, though. In that game, Yamamoto had 20 swinging whiffs. A lot of big whiffs.
Incredible.
He's been incredible. I was thinking Mackenzie Gore, 28 swinging whiffs versus the Rockies. Yamamoto is like Cy Young worthy. Jacob DeGrom only had 8 swinging whiffs.
Like the Dodgers
start. No, but I'm saying he had 7 strikeouts. He only had 8 total whiffs. Last 2 years, I mean, when he's out there, Jacob DeGrom isn't someone where you caveat the team. Jacob DeGrom dominates absolutely everybody. So credit to him that he was able to make those whiffs count in like 3 strike territories. He threw an absorbent amount of called strikes, which is probably his problem before. He had 24 called strikes, and he only had 8 total whiffs. Bad whiff percentages on the fastball. Slider was okay. But he was in the zone, a bunch of called strikes. I'm guessing maybe pitching from behind a little bit too, just kind of changing the mix. Maybe was part of it. But The strikeout game was a super low whiff one, and it was more primary fastball. And then the velo, that's the other thing I wanted to look at. Where was his velo at? Velo was up in this start. So we'd also been talking about the velo being down about a half a mile up. Not much on the slider, but the fastball was up about a half a mile. So just something to watch out for. I mean, it's amazing getting the stats versus the Dodgers, but just low swing and whiff stuff. Like, the Dodgers are pretty whiffy right now. Like, you can get some strikeouts versus them. You're also going to probably give up, you know, 8 runs, but you know, they are swinging through with guys like Max Muncy and Pajes out there. That surprises me a little bit, but still encouraging, I guess, about Jacob.
Just looking real quick, the Dodgers are, yeah, they 22.9%. That's what would that be? 17th.
Yeah, so middle of the, that's what I'm saying. They're like middle of the pack. Like, they're striking out. They're not the
18th.
You know, yeah. The Padres and the Diamondbacks don't whiff and strike out. Blue Jays, like, you don't really want to go strikeout propping against those teams, but you can against the Dodgers. It's just to me, that's a weird outing by DeGrom. It's like, you're very efficient. You threw tons of strikes, but you didn't get a lot of whiffs. So, like, is your stuff still not swinging and whiffing? Like, that lowers the strikeout potential for him. But we'll see. Maybe the other thing we talked about was like potential slow run for him to get going this season. They might want him to really slowly ramp up the season so he stops getting hurt, because you keep getting hurt all the time. Also, Easton Lucas, we're officially done with 2 starts, 14 earned runs. We can end the Easton Lucas fun. The Brad Lord, Easton Lucas, us trying to be cute. Let's not be cute anymore. No more Easton Lucas.
Yeah. I mean, it was nice while it lasted, and it's over.
Injuries. We had Wyatt Langford activated from the IL, as well as Neto, Liam Hendricks, and Brian Bayo activated on Tuesday. So some key activations for teams. Hendricks, though, I don't know if he's going to get any save opportunities. They did the game actually went early. Patriots Justin Slayton. Game, right? Yeah, Patriots. Justin Slayton got the save, and Aroldis Chapman came in the 8th, and that might have been a high leverage thing. I don't know. Maybe that opens up Hendricks to save opportunities, but he might be 3rd on the list. So my interest is minimal. Bayo interest is minimal. Obviously, Langford and Neto is huge to get them back. And also Neto back, very interesting. That's another middle infielder that potentially could, if Kyren struggles, could take him out, even though he's not playing short. Tyler Glasnow left his start on Sunday with, you said it's an ankle injury. I thought it was like a hammy or something. Was it just an ankle injury?
I think there was somebody else with a hammy. That was Jeffrey Springs.
Yeah, Jeffrey Springs was removed Sunday after all.
I saw it on RotoWorld, I believe, as a
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here. And you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What is this?
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League.
Has to be at least 3 times bigger than this. Really?
I think he hit, didn't he?
Yeah, I think it was. I don't think it was a big deal, is I guess maybe the main thing. Whatever it wasn't a huge deal. He left. Jeffrey Springs, it's kind of brutal right now. The most brutal, though, was Luis Arraez, who left the game on Sunday, and he was taken to the hospital after a collision with Mauricio Dubon. He was a little bit before this, I guess, released from the hospital, so things might be okay. But I mean, that was a nasty,
scary. And then you saw the one the day before that, where who was it that ran into
Alan Rode and ran into Rodin. Tellez. Into a brick wall.
Yeah. Tellez acted like a fly landed on him. I mean,
it's like when a child,
nothing for him.
If you're ever like, hey, try to move me, you know, a child, and a child runs at you and nothing happens. Like, that's what it looked like. Tellez was a absolute brick S house, and there was no movement. So
there's a funny video I've seen a bunch of times of a lady trying to, this guy's fishing and this lady decides that she's the police and of the river or stream or whatever.
Like a Karen type of thing.
Yeah, and she runs up on him and tries to like shoulder him into the river, and he doesn't budge, and she falls right down. It looked exactly like that.
Mind your
Rowdy Tellez one.
Yeah, mind your business, people. Mark Vientos, Ben Rice, Heston Kerstedt all did not play on Sunday. The Ben Rice one is not super great, nor Vientos, but both have not been put on the IL yet.
Yeah, they did x-rays for Ben Rice. He's all good. I think he just had an enormous bruise on his arm, so they went ahead and gave him the day off on Sunday. So hopefully he'll be back. I think they play later today.
Yeah, we need him back. I haven't seen the MLB lineups. I will be jumping on a live stream where we'll look at some MLB lineups and stuff. So I'll probably have this episode up right before, but just again, make sure you, especially the twitch.tv/inthisleague, follow, look for notifications. I like to jump on if I'm pregame and we can look at lineups and stuff and see if Ben Rice is out there. Ezekiel Tovar was placed
Ben Rice is not out there, by the way. I'm looking right now. It's Judge is DHing. So another day off for Ben Rice.
Ezekiel Tovar was placed on the IL with left hip inflammation. AJ Puck, as we mentioned, on the IL with left elbow inflammation, MRIs today. And Jack Leiter making a minor league rehab start on Tuesday, which should get him back in the rotation pretty soon. Those are some of our injuries. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will look at the stats and we will look at the sheet. We'll look at my sheet for some prospects to stash, what that list looks like, who I've got in my top 10 pickups. I've got some deep pickups, and we will kind of get you set for the week. We'll do more right after this.
Hey, in this league.
Look at us. Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
All right, let's talk about some hot start pitchers from the week. We mentioned Yamamoto on the season, by the way. Absolute, as you wrote here, cruise control. 3-1, 29 innings, a sub-1 ERA, a sub-1 whip. He has been pretty good, man. And he looks like he's in that Cy Young contention.
You know, I was listening to Sleeper in the Bus, and Justin Mason talked a lot about Japanese pitchers in their second year that's when they tend to take their big jump. You know, they've adjusted culturally.
The league is adjusted to them, and they can readjust 100%.
And I mean, Yamamoto looks outstanding right now. So big ups to him.
Yeah. I mean, and I think the idea of like how it can continue, it's going to like level out a little bit, but I think he legitimately belongs in that race. And more importantly for fantasy, like it's a really amazing value. You know, one of those guys that was like into the teens who might be a top 10 guy rest of season. He just looks locked in.
Let me ask you about Sasaki, because we're going to go over, you know, mainly really hot starts or last couple starts are pretty good. I just put some interesting names here for you to talk about. But Sasaki threw 5 starts, 0-1, 19.2 innings pitched, 3.20 ERA is fine, 1.47 whip is bad, 16 walks, 16 strikeouts. I mean, it's looking very mediocre from Sasaki so far.
Super mediocre, man. And I will kind of go back to what I did on MLB Fan Fest for Fantasy Pros. Brought on Lance Brozdowski, and that was actually the only segment I hosted. I was just analyst everywhere, and I wanted to host that one specifically, and I wanted to talk about Lance. And I started the show off with Roki Sasaki, and he kind of came right out the gates and was like, yeah, you know, the slider kind of stinks. The split finger's amazing. The fastball's mediocre, and he's got the makings of a reliever. And it was like, whoa. I think obviously that is a bit dramatic, and there's so much time to progress and stuff like that. But his fastball is mediocre. It has a 10% whiff rate,